November 25th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can listen to us on the sportscast.net and also read news at the sportscast.net. Also, you can follow us on Twitter on the Sportscast One for Instagram and Twitter, and check us out in our app, the Sportscast for iOS. The U.S. continues their streak with England undefeated. England has never defeated the U.S. in a World Cup, but the U.S. has beat them one time, but back in 1950, and they continue today, drawing 0-0 in Qatar. No goals, but we saw a little bit more U.S. pressure, more chances for them than England. And joining us all the way from PNW, Francisco Flores, welcome back to the Sportscast.
How's it going? It's good to be back. A lot of exciting games happened over since the last time we were on a week ago, and I'm happy and ready to talk about all the action and drama and whatnot. How was Thanksgiving and whatnot for you?
Thanksgiving was awesome. The turkey that my mom got was pretty good and moisty. Like, everyone was saying, wow, the turkey was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, because usually it's dry. It's
so hard to get it right.
Yeah, struggling to eat it. And hopefully they have some leftovers. But other than that, I mean, it was great. How was yours?
Yeah, it was good as well. Went traditional. This year, usually we kind of mix it up with some Mexican food of some sorts, but it was all traditional today. I think, well, next week is my birthday, so I think that's where we're saving some of the food for that.
That's awesome. Okay. It has been a few hours since the match, USA drawing England 0-0, the biggest test for both these teams. And we saw it a couple of chances, of course, Pulisic, Weston McKennie creating chances. Kenny almost scored, but hit the ball over the net. A lot of post. Harry Maguire actually had a great match, I thought. But Francisco, you're a unbiased U.S. fan. I'm kidding. You're a Mexico fan. How did you see this match for both England and the U.S.?
I'm a little biased, obviously, in favor of Mexico. So my talking points of the U.S. are not going to be very positive. Regardless, but I think, you know, I going into the match, you know, everybody was like, this is a test, like you were saying, for both of the countries. And for me, it shouldn't really be a test for England, but somehow they found a way to complicate the game for themselves. Like, they gave their fans such high confidence that they were going to be going, you know, the 6-2 win, you know, over, yeah, obviously not a team that's very competitive, but still, I think it kind of gave the fans sort of release, you know. I was like, okay, we're good, you know, we can trust in Southgate. But then, yeah, they just managed to somehow really, really complicate the qualification going into the last game. And I think it makes it exciting, obviously, for the fans that's how it goes down to the last game. So that's good. But I honestly thought that England was going to have it in the bag, 2-0, something like that. But yeah, USA went in there and gave them a fight. And statistically, I think the U.S. did a little bit better shot-wise and whatnot. And obviously, England with the possession game, we knew that they were going to dominate that. So the teams that go up against England, that's kind of what they have to, they already know what they're going to be up against. So I think the U.S. did well to combat that and try to get a goal, but they couldn't find that chance. They couldn't get that one last pass in the final third to get through. And I thought it was pretty close too for the U.S. So there was a couple chances where I thought they were going to get a goal, but yeah, 0-0, and you know, no goals, but I think it was pretty exciting.
Let me ask you this, because I could be a little bit more biased. Did you see more chances coming from the U.S. and England?
I think, yeah, there was more. I think there was just more clear, or not clear. There was just more of them. Doesn't matter. They weren't, you know, the best shots, but there was just more, I think, activity going forward with the U.S., which that's kind of the pattern that I have been seeing with them is that they're going forward. You know, they're as soon as they recover the ball, put it up, and let's see if we can create something. Which that's what I've that's how I would run a team if I was the manager. Is recover the ball and get it up to our forwards as soon as you can. You know, let's get a goal, and every chance going forward should be should have a high chance of being, you know, close to the goal or shot blocked of some sort.
Yeah, the U.S. had one change. Francisco was switching out Josh Sargent for Haji Wright. Haji Wright has height. He's the top scorer in the Turkish league. He might be number one or number two. He kind of interchanges with Inter Valencia from Ecuador. Haji Wright, I kind of thought he was still a lot. I don't think he had many chances. It was actually more McKennie and Pulisic. But I think that number nine role, do you think it should be filled or should be switched out? Because they have a match with Iran, and we haven't really scored much.
I like playing with a supporting, like a number nine, you know, behind the striker. I think that sort of having a player that could always put a through ball or some type of pass to the forward at any time once they receive a ball going forward after a recovery. I think that's how I would like to play, and I like seeing that in teams. So I think rotating and finding, you know, that right player, maybe because, you know, physically England I think is a little bit better than the US, but I think just size wise the English players, you know, have a little bit more of that edge over the US, so maybe that's why Haji played instead. But I think a smaller, more agile player should be in that supporting role. Timothy Weah is, that's what he is, but dude, he is just too good to be trying to run back and recover balls and to put passes through. Like, he's the one that should be receiving the passes for a goal. But there's plenty of options, and you know, some people might be like, oh, well, this isn't the time to just go in there and start making little changes. And it's like, we already had that time to prepare to see what was your final squad. But I think it's just the way that the game has changed. You know, it's different now. Teams, managers, the good managers have two or three game plans depending on who they're going up against. And so there's going to be changes and things like that. You know, it's like, why did you do this against that team? And, you know, maybe that was the reason why it ended up 0-0 and England didn't score, was because they had to worry about a different player that they didn't see, you know, coming.
I would say that the defensive line of the U.S. has been fantastic. Adding Tim Ream last minute, because he hasn't played in a year for the U.S., was definitely a plus player from Fulham. England, 55% ball possession to the U.S., 45% ball possession. That's pretty accurate. Would say England had a lot of the ball, but I do think the U.S. had more chances. With 10 shots on goal, England had 8. Both have big chances, looking at the FOP mob stats. England was favorites after Iran. There's been some question marks these past 2 hours. I've been listening to a lot of British press and saying, well, maybe they won't get it home this time. But is it something to fret? England should be fretting on? Or, hey, the U.S. is a legit team.
I would be worried just because of the quality of their players. They have, what, 90-something percent of their squad is from the Premier League, which is the best league in the world. So, you know, you have to. I feel like if they don't make it at least to the semifinals, it's a failure. You know, just with the class and the amount of quality that those players have collectively and individually, you know, like any one of these teams could be playing in the top teams in this World Cup and domestically as well. So I would be worried. I think just there's just so much talent that maybe Southgate is wanting to, you know, do something maybe different, and he didn't I think it was the same 11, right, in this game?
Yes, the last 11, game. No changes, correct.
No changes. Which maybe that was part of it. Players got a little fatigued, or they, you know, going into the match against USA, maybe they were underestimating their opponents. You know, that they didn't think that they needed to go as hard, and you know, they quickly realized that this is going to be a tougher match than what they anticipated.
When they subbed in Jack Grealish, I saw some little bit of momentum with England a little bit. Marcus Rashford as well. Jordan Henderson kind of stabilized a little bit with the midfield. We hadn't seen Foden yet. And some people say Foden is the best player in England right now. I heard he has an injury coming along, but, you know, maybe that's something that England needs, a little bit of a spark from Foden, the Man City star.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with Saka in there, like that's, I feel like, enough explosiveness and speed for sure. But yeah, I definitely would like to see more Jack Grealish. I just think that he's a very unique type of player that a lot of opponents kind of underestimate, like I was saying, from their perspective, that Jack Grealish, he just doesn't, I feel like he looks like he's not going to be as good as he is, or he's not going to be as talented as he is. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, I would like to see more Jack Grealish. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Grealish definitely coming in is a big part, even though he doesn't play much for, I mean, he subs in for Man City, but I think he has he's really creative and whatnot. But, you know, throughout this tournament, you're going to see players not getting subbed in, you know, not early enough. Gio Reyna, for example, got subbed in, but last 10 minutes, he couldn't do much there. But we'll see about this U.S. squad. And obviously, we'll towards the end of the show, we'll definitely see if Francisco has the U.S. still coming out of this group. It is tighter. It is leveled. And when we talk about the other scores, Iran obviously won this morning against Wales. But before we get into that, let's go into the Netherlands tying Ecuador 1-1. Gakpo, who plays in who started, scored in a fantastic goal towards the beginning. Then Inter Valencia scored in the 49th minute to equalize. Valencia is in the running for the Golden Boot Award. I don't know about you, but besides Brazil, Ecuador is the next, you know, good South American country that's doing well in this World Cup.
Yeah, I think they're kind of a little bit of the dark horse, you know, like people didn't see him come in, and Valencia obviously going off and scoring. He's got three now, right?
Yeah, he's three right now. Two three in goals. The first game and three right now. So if he goes to the second round, I guess if you hit around five goals, you start being a candidate.
yeah, for sure. Getting to five would be up there with the Golden Boot. And obviously he's got some Premier League experience as well, which he scored pretty good amount of goals in the Premier League. But yeah, I think Ecuador, South American, they're giving putting pressure on the other South American teams to be like, hey, you guys, Ecuador's not supposed to be in the favorites for South America. That's Argentina and Uruguay, or, you know, another country, Brazil. But yeah, I think every World Cup, there's always, you know, a team underdog that performs well. And regardless of that, I still make the same, you know, bracket with the best teams. I never listen to it. I never learned my lesson. But yeah, I think Ecuador, definitely the way that they're as a team collectively playing defensively, I think they rallied back to get that equalizer. And I like to see that, you know, that they're not just giving up and being like, oh man, we're down one goal. Oh no, we're down another goal against, you know, a big country. Like they're in it to fight. So they're, watch out for Ecuador. They're the fighting team.
The Netherlands in their first match struggled. They beat Senegal 2-0. Good squad, but I guess we're not seeing them full action. Memphis Depay came in the game a little bit, changed some things, but this team is not showing their best, I guess.
Yeah, I think I was a little more hopeful. And I mean, they're not doing the worst, you know. Yeah, they did struggle in the first game, but they pulled it off 2-0. It was a late rally, but you know, they still I think overall in that first game, regardless of, you know, how tight it was up until the 85th minute, I think it was, they scored their first one. I thought it was a good showing for them, but definitely against Ecuador, I feel like they struggled a little more than what people anticipated. And, you know, even though that they scored pretty early on, but after that, I think Ecuador held it down pretty well against Netherlands.
Inter Valencia, I believe, had a knock during the game today. He might miss that third last final match against Senegal. So we'll see what happens. But I think if Ecuador can hold on, they'll definitely advance to the next round. Very doable. Let's go into the other match. Qatar is the first team to be eliminated in this World Cup. The host team. They paused Senegal 3-1, which was a pretty good performance. The first win for an African team. It took the second game for that to happen. A goal by Dia, the Dua, and Dieng, all in the one in the first half and two in the second half. And Qatar scored their first goal from Montari in the 78th minute. Any thoughts over this match?
I thought this was going to be like a boring 0-0 match, but four goals. And I think Senegal needed a little bit of a revenge game sorts, you know, like they needed to get out a little frustration from the first game. And, you know, Qatar were just there and ready and waiting for it because they haven't showed anything and they're not going to because they're done and out. The host country. Now we're going to see more Qatar fans dressing up as fans of other teams. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, that actually, I was seeing some photos about that. They were like dressing up as Spaniard fans. Like, hold on, those don't look like Spaniards to me, but you know, they were Qatari fans.
They were like, oh, Korea doesn't have enough fans. All right, here, get some jerseys, get some South Korea jerseys and put them on them. We'll pay them. The government will pay them to pose as actors.
Exactly. Which almost, I think majority of the Asian teams are doing well, except Qatar, you know, and Qatar had 12 years to prepare itself. They went to the Gold Cup. You probably remember they hold on to the U.S. just by one goal. U.S. won. And they went to the Copa America, but I guess sometimes you just can't really, as a host team, you just can't do it all.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, there's not really on the Qatar team. I mean, who can you name me one player on there?
I cannot. Nobody. I thought there was a Brazilian there.
$10, but... and if you could name me, that would be the number one question I would ask to people over there.
And like, how many of these players we'll get, you know, like we'll go to a European team anytime soon.
Yeah. Right. Maybe one, but you know, who's going to go looking for a Qatar player right now? Like, no, I'm going to go look for a, somebody from the Netherlands or Brazil, you know, like there's more attractive players that are better. So,
yeah. We got a few comments on the YouTube comments. Codex Gaming, Qatar isn't a footballing nation. I guess we agree on that.
Yep, that's for sure.
And of course, you know, Qatar, the U.S. was pretty much in that same position back in the 90s. Maybe Qatar might do better. All right, this morning, Wales lost. Gareth Bale's Wales lost against Iran 2-0. Both goals came in stoppage time. This improves Iran's chances of going to the next round. Wales has to pretty much beat up on England and beat them, and then rely on Iran to beat the U.S. But your thoughts over this match?
Yeah, surprising result. I thought Wales were going to come out on top, but when you have Bale on your team, anything could happen. He could give you the best performance of your life, or he could give you the worst. I mean, this one was average. I'm not going to say it was his worst. That's not what I'm saying. But he's just not consistent. You know, he hasn't been consistent for a long time. And, you know, regardless, he scored, I think it was a penalty, right? The first goal that he got.
First goal, thanks to the American defender.
Yeah. So just like Ronaldo. Just exactly. Like Ronaldo, a penalty. So, I mean, you know, there's going to be haters that are going to say, oh, that doesn't count, whatever. And
he got lucky.
Yeah, he got lucky or whatever. But, yeah, I expected a lot more from Wales in this game. But, hey, Iran, they took advantage. You know, the players knew, oh, we got to pull a result from one of these three games. And, you know, every match is different. Every day is different. You never know what's going to happen. Injuries, you know, the way the players are feeling that day, how everybody wakes up. And, yeah, Iran were just there to take advantage and kill it. They didn't need possession. But still with having 38 possession, they beat Wales in shots 21-10. So
that's pretty incredible.
Wales, where they were sleeping, they were somewhere, they were watching the game in the stands with the Qatar fans posing as Iran fans.
Yeah, as Francisco said, the Iran team definitely having some great possession. It shots on goal actually. Iran had 21, Wales had 10. That's quite impressive. Wales had more possession actually at 62%, yeah. Iran 38%. And I guess the whole key for more strategy didn't work out this time. Apparently, he changed the game against the US. I didn't see it. Ramsey was subbed out. But this Welsh team, first World Cup since 58. They had a good Euros 2 years ago, but can this Welsh team beat England? Because that's the only way for them to go into the next round.
I don't think so. I don't think they have it in them. They don't have that fight. And especially after taking the 2-0 loss to Iran, like I think they're just down on themselves right now. And I don't know if they could fight their way out of there. I don't really see that type of difference maker. Bale maybe, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, but I don't think he's that type of player today
anymore. Do you think he'll take up more golfing after the World Cup?
After the World Cup, for sure, because he can't play right now. He's banned from it, so he's just waiting. He's like, come on, look, can we please just go home early so I can go play some golf?
Exactly. He's an LAFC player for MLS. Hasn't played a full 90 minutes. Codex Gaming says they have individual players that can play like Bale and Ramsey and James, but as a team, they're very weak. What do you think about that?
Wait, is he talking about Iran?
Wales.
About Wales. Oh, that individually.
Yeah, Bale, Ramsey, and James, but they don't just can't work together.
Yeah, and that might be, you know, manager's fault or the play style, you know, they play with 3-5 at the back, whatever, however you want to see it. And they've been doing that system for a long time. And I feel like the majority of that time is because of the type of player that Bale is. Like, okay, let's make our game style based around Gareth Bale, who's, you know, he can go wherever he wants. He can go up, he can go down. He's not really a forward. He's not a striker, but he has goals in him. So I think that's mainly the reason that they're set up this way. And so if he's not in the team or if they need a different way of playing, they don't have another strategy. I feel like it's just a one-way street for them. So for me, that's what's affecting them more than anything else.
Wales goalkeeper Wayne Hennessy got red carded. He went off his box, did a high kick against an Iranian player, and goalkeeper from Leicester City, Danny Ward, came in, which he actually has more starts than Hennessy usually does. So that was a red card.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Ward also has the most clean sheets. He's exactly. the keeper with the most clean sheets, which he came out of nowhere because Leicester were not doing so well at the beginning of the season.
He beat out. He actually, that's why Schmeichel left Nice from Leicester because of Danny Ward.
Yep. I wouldn't have left, but hey, if you know, you ain't going to get playing time, then it's time to go. I thought Schmeichel was good enough to stay in the Premier League, but.
No, too bad. He should have went to Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I think they're not going to make it. Wales they're done.
Yeah, it's going to come down to Iran and USA, but it plays on Tuesday. I would probably save that game to the predictions part and see what Francisco says. I think I know what he's going to say, but let's talk about Argentina, Mexico tomorrow, Saturday. This game is looming even bigger because Argentina lost against Iran, but 2-1 a couple of days ago. Mexico tied Poland 0-0. Francisco, your thoughts? What's going to happen, and what is everyone buzzing about?
Well, if Tata Martino plays the exact 11 that I want him to play, then he could pull the win off against Argentina. Wow. But since he's not going to, they're probably not going to get that win. I'm hoping for a 1-1. I think strategically doing that is, I wouldn't look down on Tata Martino for that. And I think that would be it's very easy to tell if that's the way that they're going to go out there to play. Because obviously if they're not going forward, if you see a lot of back pass, which you saw a lot of that in the first game with Mexico, then they're probably going to be good with trying to keep it 0-0 at most. And if Argentina does get one, then usually Mexico doesn't do the best when they rally and panic and they need a goal when they're under a lot of pressure. Especially at this stage of the World Cup, it's a whole different game. It's not just, oh, let's qualify and this is a CONCACAF, you know, like for the octagonal or whatever. Like, now this is the real deal now. It's the World Cup, no more of that. It's just, that's the type of game that it is now. You know, it's strategic. You know, some teams are going to need a win, some teams don't. There's no reason to risk it, and I understand that. You know, because if you do make it through, you got more games. You know, if you just win all out every single game, then you might get an injury, an unexpected injury that you don't need. I'll go over the changes that I would ask. I could probably go with like 70 to 80%. So 7 to 8 players I agree with, the ones that he's starting.
So I'll pull up the lineup that he had against Poland. So if you want to
refresh. Yeah. I mean, Ochoa, regardless of the players that he brought, he didn't bring the goalie that I think.
Old-timer he brought.
Yeah, you know, but Ochoa, he turns into the best goalkeeper in the world every 4 years, so I'll give him that. So that's fine. But, you know, over here at right back, I think Jorge Sanchez, he looks good on paper, but in game, he doesn't convince me. So that would already be where my first change would come. And it wouldn't, I think of the players that he picked, I don't think I would pick any of the backups either for that position. Cause it would be, I think Kevin Alvarez, I think would be the guy to play on that right side, but I don't even like him. So I would have just picked a player that he didn't even bring. But anyways, Montes, we can keep him. He's good. Moreno, definitely do not play him. All right. He's too slow. He's too slow, and we've already got at least one, if not two guys better than him. And Nestor Araujo, he would be my pick playing alongside Montes, because Montes is young and Araujo has a lot of experience in La Liga. And I feel like he's got more of that, that grit, that fight, that, like, you know, he's not the best center back, but he knows what to do to get those forwards, you know, in
good ball manager.
Yeah, good ball manager. There you go. You know, if he needs to pull somebody shorts, if he needs to, you know, deceive the manager or the referee in some way, shape, or form by fouling that player, like, he knows how to do that without getting caught. So That's who I would go with. And then at left back, come on now. How have we not seen Gerardo Arteaga not starting there at left back? Gallardo, yeah, he might be good at in Liga MX, which that's where he plays. Arteaga is starting at Genk over in Belgium. And this guy can't get a minute in the World Cup. Like, come on. This guy deserves at least one game. Like, if he's doing bad, all right, get him off at halftime and put Gallardo back in there. But, dude, he's really good, especially going forward. And I feel like he would complement the style of play that Vega has, you know, like where he's just somebody give him a ball, he's going to go forward and he's going to be, you know, cutting in and just being super dangerous in the opponent's box. And I feel like Arteaga is just that perfect left back to complement him. He's got a lot of he's got speed and he's got a lot of stamina. He could go the whole game just running back up and down, which then that would let Alexis Vega go more forward and not have to drop back and recover so many balls, which I feel like that's what the wingers are doing way too much for Mexico. Both Vega and Chucky Lozano or whoever plays on the right, Tecatito Corona, who's not playing in this, but he would usually be playing on the right. But still, just too much recovery, I feel like, for me, for those wingers. That should be more of the mids, the center mids. But then in the midfield, I would leave Herrera, or I could sub him out for Guardado. I feel like they're pretty much the same type of player now. They used to be a little bit different, especially Guardado. I feel like he would be a lot more defensive, but now it's center mids, I feel like, are looking to go forward more than they are to defend, especially as they get older, because, you know, it's like, come on, let's let a younger guy sit deep and make him, which is, that's why I think Alvarez is playing in that deep role in center defensive mid. To me, he's a center back. He's been a center back when he started at America, or even before that, he was a center back. But over at Ajax, when he went over there, they started using him as a CDM, and I guess they liked the way that he's playing there, and he's kind of, I guess, transformed, or he's now switched to that role. But I would like to see him at center back because of his size. But I guess just for World Cup sake, we'll keep him there. And then on that left side, Luis Chavez, he hasn't really convinced me. If anything, I would rather have two players playing deep, like how they've done it before with Alvarez and Gutierrez, who plays at PSV. Both of them playing deep and then having one floating, which is why Herrera or Guardado would be there, because they could float, they could go wherever they want, they go forward, but they're also good at passing the ball forward, or just passing the ball in general. And then the front three wouldn't change. Vega, Martin. I would just go with Martin because I do love Raul Jimenez, but he's just not the same Jimenez. Sad to say that, not the same Jimenez. I feel like you could give him a whole year of, you know, recovery and trying to get him to where he was. Like, even if you had a year before the World Cup to get him ready, I don't think he would be at that level where he was before the injury. I think that just affected him way too much. You know, a traumatic, you know, head injury like that, like, you're just not going to play the same way anymore as much as, you know, you would want to, or you're saying, no, it hasn't affected me. Like, I can use my head, you know, whatever. I can still go hard. But I think he can't go in the same way as he used to. You know, he can't be as aggressive with headers as he used to be. Like, so it's just, he's not the same person. So I would go with Martin, and I would want Chucky Lozano on the left, but just because of how good Vega is, you just can't put him there. And so I guess because he's played at Napoli for almost season and a half now, almost on the right side. So I guess I could have him there, but I would really like to see him on the left. Even just, you know, if he could switch with Vega, or just start out on the left and then put Vega later on in the second half. But yeah, not a lot of changes, but I would like to see would be really critical. And I think that it would help Mexico not make so many of those little mistakes that they always make.
Yeah. Well, you kind of changed the whole back line, it feels like.
Yeah.
Looks like.
Yeah, the whole basically three of the four.
Oh, okay. And the goalkeeper, if you want to include him.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter if you have, you know, this player, like Ochoa, for example, like at the World Cup stage, like that player will just be, you know, whoever, the best goalie, like I was saying, every 4 years. So,
yeah. Well, huge match tomorrow against Argentina. You know, Argentina is urgent to win this match. Like, I guess there's no other alternative.
No, they need to win. There's no other alternative. They got a loss that they weren't expecting, and yeah, it's definitely desperate. And when Argentina is going to be desperate, but not only that, so is Messi. And when Messi is desperate, yeah, he scores.
All chaos he happens.
Definitely scores.
So. As Francisco says, Messi will go crazy. I've been hearing Lautaro Martinez of Argentina will be starting. So that will be a big one. And they're going to change some lineups here and there. But it's quite something. I think Mexico, I've never seen Mexico chillaxed in a while.
But yeah, right.
It's going to be crazy, which we'll give a score a little bit later in the show. Anything else before we head into predictions? Anything else on those World Cup that you liked? I know Ronaldo scored in a penalty.
They really
beat Ghana.
Brazil, that was a close one.
Yeah.
That was a close one. I think with Portugal, they kind of struggled a little bit, but I'm not worried about them. They're going to make it through.
Yeah, because on paper, this is like one of the best Portugal teams. I've seen a lot. In a huge while. I mean, we're talking about Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva, and there, also Neves from Wolves,
Ruben Diaz,
you name it. And also one guy might leave Atletico. I forget his name.
João Felix,
he might leave Atletico. So it's quite something. You know, it's funny because World Cup, some of these, you know, big clubs get these players, but we're in the middle of a winter transfer, I guess. And I don't think it's the same time to do it, or like a good time because of the contracts, but we'll find out. Maybe some players might get picked up. I know that one Dutch player is going to get picked up that scored today. Madrid's interested.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, we'll see.
You think Ronaldo might go back to Madrid now that he's a free transfer?
Do I want him there?
Hey, Benzema's kind of injured right now.
if Hazard leaves, then yeah, bring Ronaldo back. But
yeah, which Hazard started.
Right. I was not expecting that.
You pulled the bail on us.
Yeah, pulled the bail. I just think that's too much money to be putting on the wage. Like if he's gonna be starting and scoring goals like he was when he was here 6-7 years ago, maybe, but I don't think we're going to get that Ronaldo anymore. This is the on the road to retirement Ronaldo,
which I don't think he's really
mindset of retiring, but yeah, exactly. Like he hasn't accepted that he's getting old and he's going to have to retire eventually. Like he hasn't thought about that because he's just so stubborn about, you know, scoring goals and winning trophies and whatnot. Like he hasn't had time to think about retiring. Like he's just going to keep going and training until somebody, you know, gives him the chance. But I think he just, with everything that happened with Man United, it just doesn't look good to go back to your team now with any player. I think this is going to affect the whole mindset of players in general. Like, is it a good idea to go back to the team that I started at? You know, like, what if they don't treat me the way that I was treated at that first spell, you know? And then, like, I don't want to go against my, you know, boyhood team or a team that I really liked when, you know, I was playing there. But we'll see.
Yeah.
This is his last chance to go somewhere. Like we were talking about the last one, where if he really wants to, you know, be on the records and have, you know, the every record possible, then go to the French league and tear that league up, because that's the last league you have left that you haven't gone to and broke, you know, whatever scoring records that you did in every other league that he basically played in. So I think that would be a smart idea, and then go to Sporting and retire.
Would it have to be PSG?
No, but that's obviously where it'd be the easiest to score goals. And but it might be hard now because Mbappe ain't going nowhere. He can't go anywhere, even if he wants to. Even if it's he wanted Coach to leave.
Mbappe, right?
Yeah. It's Sporting Director Mbappe. Mister.
It's Mister crazy. Mbappe. And it's interesting that Madrid will never give away that much power to a player like that. Never. Nope. That's the best part of Madrid.
Yeah. Ronaldo got the one exception. That was the only player that they would make an exception for.
Interesting. If he did go back to Madrid, and if he doesn't like it, he'll probably go on El Chiringuito to complain.
Oh yeah, for sure. They would want the exclusiva, you know.
They want to go like, back to Piers.
So. We'll pay you. Yeah, right. Like Piers, how much did he give you? 2 million? Oh, give you 5 million.
Yeah. No, he's loaded. But anyways, he speaks good English, by the way, if you haven't seen the interview yet. All right. Full slate of games tomorrow, 5 a.m. Let's go into predictions. Poland versus Saudi Arabia. Who do you got, Francisco?
Poland, Saudi Arabia. I think Poland will take it. Lewandowski, he hasn't been scoring that much. I mean, he after that he seemed like he wanted to cry after Ochoa blocked his penalty.
He hasn't scored in the World Cup yet.
So I'm going to say he's going to go off in this game. He's going to get his hat trick, his 3 goals to bring him back up to the top scorer where he thought he should be at the beginning.
I'm going to say draw. Saudi Arabia.
1-1.
Saudi Arabia, I think beating Argentina has some momentum. We'll see. We'll see who's what happens with them. First real test, maybe. I don't know. All right, Argentina versus Mexico. Who you have there?
If I had to bet on it, I'm going to go with the draw. 1-1.
Fair enough. I like that. Not good for Argentina still. That would not be looking good for them.
That would not be good for them, which would be good for me.
Exactly. Tunisia versus Australia. These Socceroos.
Oh, man. This one definitely has the 0-0 boring game label.
It does, doesn't it?
Over it. But no, actually, I'm going to go opposite. You know what? I'm going to go with the draw still, but it's going to be 3-3. It's going to be a goal fest.
Oh, goal fest. I like that. Those are good games. France versus Denmark. Doing well without Benzema. Had a good performance against Australia, but who doesn't have a good performance against Australia? What's going to happen? France versus Schmeichel.
I'm going to go with France in this one. I think this one's going to be more of a score. The score wise, it's going to be more of where France should be. So I'm going to go with 3-1. There's going to be a Lloris goalkeeping mistake that's going to let Denmark score one.
Lloris, of course, great goalkeeper. And finally, I know this game's until Tuesday, but actually, let's go before Tuesday. Sunday, because a lot of games going on. Spain versus Germany. Who you got there? Ooh, Germany Spain, lost against Germany. Japan, by the way. So,
yep, that they another underdog over here. Japan just pulling off miracles. Spain Germany. I think if Germany wouldn't have lost to Japan, then I feel like the hype around this game would be a little bit more. But regardless, it's still Spain against Germany. Really good international teams. I think Spain's going to pull it off in this one. They really surprised me in the first game. I think they were way more just calm and didn't really look like they were struggling at any point during the first game. So I don't think it's not going to look that way for Spain in this game, because Germany is going to give them way more of a fight. But I think Spain is going to be able to pull a win off in this one. I'm going to go with the 2-1 prediction.
2-1 Spain. Who was your favorite player from the squad when you saw them play against Costa Rica?
For Spain?
Yeah.
I like
Pedri.
I was like, you better not say
I know a lot of Barcelona players in this.
Well, pretty much all of them are. I like the way Ferran Torres was playing at Man City, and I don't think he should have left. I think he would have definitely done a lot more, and his name would have been heard of a lot more if he wouldn't have left to La Liga, which has been struggling for, you know, a year or two now. But yeah, I like the way that he plays. I think he's got, you know, the goals in him, and just super talented player.
There you have it. That's on Sunday. And then Monday, Portugal versus Uruguay. Who do you have there?
I was a little disappointed by Uruguay's performance. I thought that they were going to be have a little more fight in them than what they showed against South Korea, which, I mean, come on, it's South Korea. But, I mean, they have some good players. I'm a little biased against the Korean players. Son. But yeah, because, you know, that's the only thing I think about with Korea is like Son. I'm like, but he can't do it all by himself. Like, you know,
can't be Pulisic.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of a hard one just because Portugal did struggle. But I'm going to go with, Portugal with the win. 1-0.
1-0 by Ronaldo or someone else?
I hope Ronaldo scores it, but he will probably it'll probably be Bruno.
Bruno Fernandes. You know, yeah. Did you see that Ghana player when he celebrated his goal and he imitated Ronaldo's?
Oh yeah. Win?
That was funny.
I was even seeing like some of the Saudi Arabia fans were. I think that's how they celebrated outside too.
Oh, they did. Interesting. Yeah. They would do that.
Yeah.
All right,
because it's against Argentina.
Yeah. Finally, USA versus Iran. This is for all the marbles. Both teams. I think it's a win. You're in. Who do you got there?
Yep. Definitely win. You're in situation. I think this match is going to be. It's going to have people on the edge of their seat. So I think this is going to be a 0-0. Zero-zero late game goes 0-0 into like the 80th, almost stoppage time. I think 89th minute, there's going to be a goal. And I think USA is going to be able to pull it off.
USA.
Yeah. I've cemented my second spot in this group now after the first and second game.
You know, this World Cup reminds me a lot for the U.S. Of the 2010 World Cup, where the U.S. Drew against England and they also drew against Slovenia, and then they had to beat Algeria. And like this year, Iran is our Algeria.
Is there Algeria?
So
close, right? Close.
Yeah. And I can just see Pulisic pulling another late last minute goal, like you were saying, like back then Landon Donovan did. He scored in stoppage time. I think it was the 92nd minute. So this
Captain America.
Captain America. So there you have it. Also, I watched the Amazon Prime documentary, Good Rivals. It showed the history of the U.S. versus Mexico rivalry. For sure see it. And they kind of centralized the movie with Landon Donovan and Rafa Márquez a lot.
Oh, so okay.
You're going to see that because Rafa Márquez and Landon started almost at the same time. Rafa Márquez's career was a little bit longer. He ended in 2018. Yeah. Donovan, he retired in 14, came back. He played for, I think, León in Mexico for a bit. Yeah. And then he went back to L.A. So maybe 2016, but really, really close parallel players for both their countries. And Rafa Márquez, man, I didn't realize it, but he is probably one of the GOATs in Mexico soccer history.
Yeah, definitely. He's a GOAT.
I mean, he's a defender. I know it's not much you can do there, but still.
Yeah. But also, he was regarded as one of the best center backs when he was playing at Barcelona.
Yeah.
And people like recognized that he was really good. Like that's when he was able to actually show his talent and be like, oh man, this guy can shut down forwards like nothing. He's got these people in his pocket. And yeah, like especially the, I think after his first, second and third year at Barcelona, I think he was just, he was playing as like, he could have been at one or two like best center backs during those days.
He was pre-Messi, right?
I think he might have been there a year or two before Messi. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah,
for sure Ronaldinho. When he was there.
No, I think he was there when Ronaldinho was actually there as well.
Okay. I'm thinking about these players. Thierry Henry, you probably played with Thierry Henry.
Yep, he played with Henry.
And maybe play again with the Red Bulls when he came to play in the States.
Yeah, I think he played with Zlatan even too.
Oh wow, that's right. Zlatan paid for Barcelona.
Yeah, because he was there when Pep Guardiola was
starting to come in.
I think that's how. Yeah, I think Pep was actually the one who was like, "Yeah, we need this guy."
Interesting.
We need to bring him in. We need to start him.
So you can watch Good Rivals on Amazon Prime. Francisco has Amazon Prime, so he might watch it. I don't know. And I've watched the first episode. I believe there's a total of three, so I have two more to go and see how it goes. But anyways, before we go, Francisco, closing words, and what is the best way to reach you online?
Closing words is Vamos Mexico. That's my closing words.
El tree.
The tree. I don't got really much to say. I'm just, this is the exciting part of the World Cup. First games, like, yeah, whatever. Now everybody needs to be watching. Now people's faces are going to be glued to the TV. No one's going to be paying attention at work because most of these games are pretty early for us Americans. So
especially West Coast people.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's early. Sometimes I only catch the last game.
I don't blame you, man.
But yeah, you can reach me on my social media. Twitter is the best place to reach me. That's at Francisco BCP on Twitter. Talk soccer, talk whatever other shenanigans you want to talk about. Talk some crap, Mexico, US, whatever. I'm there for it.
Definitely one of the best rivalries in North America and in the world. We have more World Cup coverage next week. Monday we have Asa Smith. And on Tuesday, we'll have Hal Phillips to recap the USA-Iran. Hopefully, it'll be a positive show. And, of course, we'll have Wednesday with Jaime. And then Francisco will be back on Friday, which we should know where's Mexico's lifeline going to be at with the World Cup.
Will Tata continue or will he not?
Yeah. Well, either way, I really think he's gone if he goes to the quarters.
Oh, yeah. He better be.
You know, and then maybe have some new coaches. I bet there's a few coaches in line that want to replace, because that's a very prestigious. And they talked about Bora actually in that movie, that like when he coached the U.S., Mexico didn't like that because he coached for Mexico previously.
Yeah.
And he was not a god in Mexico, but he was really respected, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was pretty respected.
You know, because he coached a club in Mexico. I forget the name of it, but he did well. And then he got upgraded and then took Mexico to the quarters, but lost against Germany 4-1.
Yep.
Or penalty. I don't remember. But anyways, I am seeing so much documentaries looking into World Cup history more this time, obviously, because of the World Cup. But anyways, you can reach us at the Sportscast, sportscast.net, or the Sportscast One on Instagram or Twitter. And we have full news there. And our next show is Monday at 11 a.m. with Asa. We'll be previewing the USA-Iran match and, of course, recapping the previous games between now and Monday. But anyways, wow, what a long Black Friday, long Thanksgiving. I'm going to sleep in hopefully tomorrow, but I'm definitely not going to miss Mexico, Argentina. Francisco, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And this was your World Cup coverage update.